Historically, the second Monday of October has been recognized as Columbus Day in honor of explorer Christopher Columbus. In recent years, there's been a movement to change that name and the meaning of the day to Indigenous Peoples Day. This year, for the first time, the city of Boise will recognize October 8th as Indigenous Peoples Day. Here in studio with us to talk about the change and what it means is Ty Simpson, one of the organizers of the effort. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Glad you're here. So give me some background on this effort. This movement started in the 1990s?
Yeah. So initially, we could even use the Declaration for Indigenous People from the United Nations as the initial start of, hey, let's get some worldwide recognition as a worldwide group of people. And then it started to turn into more of a culturally appropriate holidays on the calendar in the United States. Some of that coming out of the end of the AIM movement, the end of... like our American Indian voting rights, what else was happening? Like American Indian religious freedom. So any combination of those historical landmarks played a part in this movement to bring Indigenous Peoples Day to the fore.
So yeah, what were the sort of early days like in the 90s?
I was a baby. I wasn't that much of a baby. But from what I understand, and a lot of this,
I guess early days of the movement. What did it look like?
The early days of the movement. If you're talking specifically about. Like, was this a collective movement in every, like, nationwide? No, it was not a collective movement. So locally, generally where are there, like, our epicenters of Indigenous tribes is where you would see community members really pushing their local legislators and sometimes even their state legislature to make this change. And a lot of that was, it wasn't necessarily rallies at the time. It was a lot of awareness events. The way Columbus was treated in school, that's how it started for me. My own personal experience was...
Well, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my mom, bless her heart, strongest, most amazing woman in my life. I came home one day and was like, Mom, do you know Christopher Columbus discovered America? Oh, no. Like, dinner that night was like, absolutely not.
dinner that night was a lesson.
It was a lesson in one of my first lessons in activism, one of my first lessons in how ambiguous and dishonest some of what we're learning in school actually is. And then it all went downhill or uphill into my activism from there. And I'm thinking like 5 or 6 years old at that point.
Oh, wow. So tell me what was that dinner time conversation? That evening?
Well, my mother, I mean, you get the rundown, you know, Christopher Columbus was lost. He was a crook. He had no idea what he had found. His journals, even some of the things that he wrote in his own journals was, you know, I've met these Indigenous people on the first island that we came to, and they would make good servants, right? Like, that's in his journal. Those are his words. And so to hear that being told to me, like, oh, he discovered people to enslave, you know, that already begins this, you know, far-reaching consequences of dehumanizing Indigenous people from the very first day.
So we are seeing this movement has gained a lot of traction. Many cities now are celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day. So, I mean, where is this happening or has this been happening? And about how many cities do you know are participating in this now?
At last count, so October of last year, there were approximately 65 to 70 cities, and that included Moscow, Idaho, which is where I kind of was inspired to do this in Boise. Boise's the epicenter of Idaho, the capital, the largest population, the biggest university. We should have been the first, and we weren't. So once as went Moscow, so goes Boise, you know. and then, you know, just last week, I'm really excitedez some of my Nimiipuu, my Nez Perce brothers and sisters, successfully persuaded Pullman, Washington to also declare an Indigenous Peoples Day, which is really exciting that this is taking over as a movement, particularly regions where they have high populations of Indigenous people. I would really love to just be to have Indigenous Peoples Day be standard in our schools and our education, that children can look at, okay, Christopher Columbus historically existed, but not necessarily worthy of a holiday. But let's talk about the Indigenous people who built 90% of the time the schools, the capitals. Like, that was all, it's all Indian land. It's like we joke about that in Indian community, but no, we're serious. Like, it's all Indian land. Let's talk about that. We need a holiday for that. Yeah.
So, I mean, you said this gets a lot of traction, or initially got a lot of traction around Native American communities.
Yeah.
I'm imagining also probably a lot. One of the early adopters, or at least where it got a lot of traction, Southwest, like the Navajo Nation, the Four Corners region?
You'd be surprised. It was in L.A., actually, that got the most traction.
Really?
But if you remember, here's a kind of a tidbit fact. Alcatraz Island was occupied by the American Indian movement for a while. And they, as part of, you know, the Civil Rights Movement, Red Power, American Indian movement, drew a lot of indigenous people to that area and became kind of the like this wave of political activists in an urban setting in a way that we had never seen before then. And correct me if I'm wrong. Well, I might have to correct myself later, but I think that was a 70s, 80s time frame where I definitely was a baby. Definitely a baby. Yeah. And in the Southwest, yes, those are large populations of American Indians down there. Of course, they have the American Indian Arts Institute there, which is amazing. The largest powwow is there, the Gathering of Nations powwow. Albuquerque, everything that they've done in the Southwest, they have essentially couched indigenous people in their colleges, in their legislature. They now have judges. And it's really exciting to see that because that's really how it should be. You know, our systems of government and healthcare and education should reflect the population of indigenous people in that area.
Yeah. Well, we are speaking with Ty Simpson. She's one of the organizers of the effort to have Christopher Columbus revisioned, and the holiday Columbus Day redone into Indigenous Peoples Day. I want you to talk a little bit about the effort locally to change the name of the holiday. I found it absolutely fascinating that you said, you know, as goes Moscow, so goes Boise. Trademark that phrase.
Well, we can start. It started with a conversation several years ago. I lived here, I moved away, and then I came back where I was inspired by what was going on in area cities. It should be noted that Moscow is Nimiipuu country. That is the traditional and accustomed territory of the Nez Perce tribe, which Pullman included, which is why it makes sense that they were one of the first cities. Boise is a culmination of several tribes. We even have tribes from California, the Southwest, North and South Dakota. There are a lot of transplant indigenous people in the Boise area. And so it was worth it to me to leverage and lean on their input and find a city council person that could advocate for us. Like, hey, how do we make this happen at the city level, at the mayoral level? And then eventually we'll push it to the governor. Initially it was like, nope. You know, like that's always the first response is no. And then you keep pushing and then you keep asking. And then eventually all the pieces fall to place. And culturally, it makes sense for everybody in the community. And honestly, the way that we had to approach it is I kind of had to put like little kid gloves on it, like soften people into the idea of this rather than just demand the abrupt change. But in my, you know, in my real life activism, I'm very much an abrupt, like demand, ask forgiveness, not permission kind of a girl. Yeah.
Well, you said that, you know, you needed to find an advocate and an ally to help you sort of get this to move forward. This effort is more than you. Who's helping you?
Yeah.
What city council people or officials have you found that have been sympathetic?
The initial council member that I reached out to was TJ Thompson. And then he brought in and suggested some other community members who were allies to the indigenous community. That would be Cheryl and Bruce Dowlin at the time. Over the course of time, we have Johanna Jones from the State Department of Education. She's with Indian Ed. Myself, Jason Prettyboy, is a community organizer as well. I believe my sister, Melanie Fillmore, she's Lakota, was also part of this effort. And then fast forward to now, we've got Lisa Sanchez, also a city councilwoman, Karen Bubb with the City Department of Arts and History. So bringing all of these voices to the table. Lori Edmo is also very cornerstone. She's with Shoban News, a member of the Shoshone Bannock tribes. She also had a significant amount of input only because she is a descendant of the original Boise Valley people, which is another organization and event that takes place in Boise, really kind of amplifying the voices and stories and prayers of the people who originally belong to this land.
Well, the city has signed on and is going to be marking Indigenous Peoples Day this October 8th. Any idea on when Mayor Beter is going to make the official proclamation? Will you be there?
Yeah, yes, we are really excited to have Mayor Beter be present 10:30 a.m. on Monday, October 8th, now Indigenous Peoples Day. The city plaza steps will be outside 10:30 to 11. That's when we have the mayor, and then we'll continue with some remarks from other Indigenous community leaders, and then we'll have a drum also to participate in the event.
Well, thank you so much, Ty Simpson, for coming in today and telling us about this.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.